Hello, Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'd like to greet our friends at LibertyCalling.com, Dr. Ron Larson's site, which now includes Mark Dankoff's America, or at least this hour segment on the show, as a part of their regular package of radio offerings to their folks. That's LibertyCalling.com. When Mark Glenn joins us in a few minutes, we're going to be talking about No More Wars for Israel. Sarah Posner, of course, at the American Prospect, informs us that John Hagee is proceeding full steam ahead in regard to promoting a third world war in the supposed interest of Israel and in the supposed interest of Christians. This point of view, of course, is theologically, historically, exegetically, politically, and militarily flawed, flawed in the extreme. It is flawed to the point of extreme lunacy. We'll be taking a look at that, among other things, with Mark Glenn this morning when we talk about his No More Wars for Israel conference that's coming up in Los Angeles, October 12th through the 14th. Speaking of No More Wars for Israel, take a look at what Yuri Avnery says today at the Gush Shalom Israeli Peace Bloc in regard to an essay entitled, So What About Iran? A respected American paper, says Avnery, posted a scoop this week. Vice President Dick Cheney, the King of Hawks, has thought up a Machiavellian scheme for an attack on Iran. Its main point? Israel will start by bombing an Iranian nuclear installation. Iran will respond by launching missiles at Israel. And this will serve as a pretext for an American attack on Iran. Far-fetched? Not really, says Posner. It's rather like what happened in 1956. Then France, Israel, and Britain secretly planned to attack Egypt in order to topple Gamal Nasser's regime. This was, of course, the regime change in today's lingo. It was agreed that Israeli paratroops would be dropped near the Suez Canal and that the resulting conflict would serve as a pretext for the French and British to occupy the canal area in order to, quote-unquote, secure the waterway. This plan was implemented and failed miserably. What would happen to us, says Avnery, if we agreed to Cheney's plan, or for that matter, John Hagee's plan? Our pilots would risk their lives to bomb the heavily defended Iranian installations. Then Iranian missiles would rain down on our cities. He's speaking of Israel, of course, here. Hundreds, perhaps thousands, would be killed. All this in order to supply the Americans with a pretext to go to war. Would the pretext have stood up? In other words, is the U.S. obliged to enter a war on our side even when that war is caused by us? In theory, the answer is yes. The current agreements between the U.S. and Israel say that America has to come to Israel's aid in any war, whoever started it, says Avnery. Is there any substance to this leak? Hard to know. But it strengthens the suspicion that an attack on Iran is more imminent than people imagine. Do Bush, Cheney, and company indeed intend to attack Iran? I don't know, says Avnery, but my suspicion that they might is getting stronger. Why? Because George Bush is nearing the end of his term of office. If it ends the way things look now, says Avnery, he will be remembered as a very bad, if not the worst, president in the annals of the Republic. His term started with the Twin Towers catastrophe, which reflected no great credit on the intelligence agencies, and would come to a close with a grievous Iraq fiasco. There's only 1 year left to do something impressive and save his name in the history books, says Avnery. In such situations, leaders tend to look for military adventures. Taking into account the man's demonstrated character traits, the war option suddenly seems quite frightening. True, the American army is penned down in Iraq and Afghanistan, says Avnery. Even people like Bush and Cheney could not dream at this time of invading a country 4 times larger than Iraq with 3 times the population. But quite possibly the warmongers are whispering in Bush's ear. What are you worrying about? No need for an invasion. Enough to bomb Iran as we bombed Serbia and Afghanistan. This is what Yuri Avnery is saying today at Gush Shalom, the Israeli peace bloc. So what about Iran? Has Avnery heard of Operation Checkpoint and Dr. Lonnie Cass's role in promoting it? We'll explore that with Mark Glenn in a few minutes. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio on RBN. Stay tuned.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Sometimes I think life is just a rodeo. The trick is to ride, make it to the bell.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Between now and 9 o'clock, Mark Glenn of the American Free Press will call in, hopefully. We'll have a chat with him for at least a few minutes in regard to the No More Wars for Israel conference that's coming up in Southern California, October 12th through the 14th. As we've mentioned before, you can find out all that you need to find out about the conference by going to this website, nomorewarsforisrael.blogspot.com. You will see all of the folks that Mark Glenn has presently lined up as speakers for this conference, as well as those who have been invited. Hotel rooms are $124 per night. Double occupancy is allowed. Registration is $150 per person. Couples, $175. Registration fee includes Saturday evening banquet and Sunday breakfast. Those not able to attend, Mark says, we need donations. Please consider helping us out. You can contact Mark Glenn with a check or money order at the following address, Post Office Box 27, Kerrywood with a C, Idaho, 83809. That's Mark Glenn, Post Office Box 27, Kerrywood with a C, Idaho, 83809. And if you would like to register online for the conference or to send a donation online, you can do that by going to nomorewarsforisrael.blogspot.com. And all of the relevant information as to how to enact that technologically and practically is laid out for you. Folks, when we talk about war with Israel, it is very clear to me that this war on Israel's behalf is coming, that Israel and the United States, separately or together, are going to attack Iran. This is appearing all throughout the world now, including in the British press, very credible reports talking about Operation Checkmate. Dr. Lonnie Kass, K-A-S-S, who appears in the official United States Air Force website, by the way, is a former Israeli major with big-time connections in both the American and Israeli national security establishments. The London Sunday Times, I believe, of September the 23rd, is reporting that Dr. Kass is helping the top levels of the United States Air Force through this so-called Operation Checkmate plan this impending American air assault on Iran. Yuri Avnery has gotten a hold of this in Israel with the Gush Shalom Israeli peace bloc. His essay is now circulating around the world. I'm taking a look at it briefly this morning. Quite possibly, says Avnery, the warmongers are whispering in George Bush's ear. What are you worrying about? No need for an invasion of Iran. It's enough to bomb them as we bomb Serbia and Afghanistan. We shall use the smartest bombs and the most sophisticated missiles against the 2,000 or so targets in order to destroy not only the Iranian nuclear sites, but also their military installations and government offices. Quote, we shall bomb them back into the Stone Age, unquote, as an American general once said about Vietnam, or, quote, turn their clock back 20 years, unquote, as the Israeli Air Force General Dan Halutz said about Lebanon. That's a tempting idea, says Avnery. The U.S. will only use its mighty air force, missiles of all kinds, and the powerful aircraft carriers, which are already deployed in the Persian Arabian Gulf. All these can be sent into action at any time on short notice. For a failed president approaching the end of his term, the idea of an easy, short war must have an immense attraction. And this president has already shown how hard it is for him to resist temptations of this kind. Would this indeed be such an easy operation? A piece of cake in American parlance? Asks Avnery. I doubt it, he says. Even smart bombs kill people. The Iranians are a proud, resolute, and highly motivated people. They point out that for 2,000 years they have never attacked another country. But during the 8 years of the Iran-Iraq War, they have amply proved their determination to defend their own when attacked. Their first reaction to an American attack would be to close the Straits of Hormuz, the entrance to the Gulf. That would choke off a large part of the world's oil supply and cause an unprecedented worldwide economic crisis. To open the straits, if this is at all possible, says Avnery, the U.S. Army would have to capture and hold large areas of Iranian territory. The short and easy war would turn into a long and hard war. What does that mean for us in Israel, says Avnery? There can be little doubt that if attacked, Iran will respond as it has promised, by bombarding us with the rockets it is preparing for this precise purpose. That will not endanger Israel's existence, but it will not be pleasant either. If the American attack turns into a long war of attrition, and if the American public comes to see it as a disaster, as is happening right now with the Iraqi adventure, some will surely put the blame on Israel. It is no secret, says Avnery, that the pro-Israel lobby and its allies, the mostly Jewish neocons, these are Avery's words, folks, the mostly Jewish neocons and the Christian Zionists are pushing America into this war just as they pushed it into Iraq. For Israeli policy, the hoped-for gains of this war may turn into giant losses not only for Israel, but also for the American Jewish community. I'm going to reread that paragraph from Avnery's essay for the benefit of John Hagee and his minions at Cornerstone Church in San Antonio, and the minions who support Christians United for Israel. If you're listening, Mr. Hagee, take note of what Yuri Avnery says to us from Israel this morning. Quote, if the American attack turns into a long war of attrition, and if the American public comes to see it as a disaster, as is happening right now with the Iraqi adventure, some will surely put the blame on Israel. It is no secret that the pro-Israel lobby and its allies, the mostly Jewish neocons and the Christian Zionists, are pushing America into this war just as they pushed it into Iraq. For Israeli policy, the hoped-for gains of this war may turn into giant losses, not only for Israel, but also for the American Jewish community. Avery goes on to say that if President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad did not exist, the Israeli government would have had to invent him. He has got almost everything one could wish for in an enemy, says Avery. He has a big mouth. He is a braggart. He enjoys causing scandals. He is a Holocaust denier. He prophesies that Israel will, quote, vanish from the map, unquote, though he did not say, as falsely reported, that he would wipe Israel off the map. This week, the pro-Israel lobby organized big demonstrations against his visit to New York. They were a huge success for Ahmadinejad. He has realized his dream of becoming the center of world attention. He has been given the opportunity to voice his arguments against Israel, some outrageous, some valid, before a worldwide audience. But Ahmadinejad, says Avery, is not Iran. True, he has won popular elections, but Iran is like the Orthodox parties in Israel. It is not their politicians who count, but their rabbis. The Shiite religious leadership makes the decisions and commands the armed forces, and this body is neither boastful, nor vociferous, nor scandal-mongering. It exercises a lot of caution. If Iran was really so eager to obtain a nuclear bomb, says Avery, it would have acted in utmost silence and kept as low a profile as possible, as Israel did. The swaggering of Ahmadinejad would hurt this effort more than the enemy of Iran, any enemy of Iran could. It is highly unpleasant to think about a nuclear bomb in Iranian hands, and indeed in any hands, says Avery. I hope it can be avoided by offering inducements and or imposing sanctions. But even if this does not succeed, it would not be the end of the world nor the end of Israel. In this area, more than in any other, Israel's deterrent power is immense. Even Ahmadinejad will not risk an exchange of queens, the destruction of Iran, for the destruction of Israel. Napoleon said that to understand a country's policy, one has only to look at the map. If we do this, we shall see that there is no objective reason for war between Israel and Iran. On the contrary, for a long time it was believed in Jerusalem that the two countries were natural allies. David Ben-Gurion advocated a, quote, alliance of the periphery. He was convinced that the entire Arab world is the natural enemy of Israel and that therefore allies should be sought on the fringes of the Arab world, Turkey, Iran, Ethiopia, Chad, etc. Ben-Gurion also looked for allies inside the Arab world, communities that are not Sunni Arab, such as the Maronites, the Copts, the Kurds, the Shiites, and others. At the time of the Shah of Iran, says Avery, very close connections existed between Iran and Israel, some positive, some negative, some outright sinister. The Shah helped to build a pipeline from Eilat to Ashkelon in order to transport Iranian oil to the Mediterranean, bypassing the Suez Canal. The Israel Internal Security Service, Shabak, trained its notorious Iranian counterpart, Savak. Israelis and Iranians acted together in Iraqi Kurdistan, helping the Kurds against their Sunni Arab oppressors. The Khomeini Revolution did not, in the beginning, put an end to this alliance. It only drove it underground, says Avery. During the Iran-Iraq War, Israel supplied Iran with arms on the assumption that anyone fighting Arabs is our friend. At the same time, the Americans supplied arms to Saddam Hussein, one of the rare instances of a clear divergence between Washington and Jerusalem. This was bridged in the Iran-Contra affair when the Americans helped Israel to sell arms to the Ayatollahs. Today, an ideological struggle is raging between the two countries, but it is mainly fought out on the rhetorical and demagogical levels. I dare to say, says Avery, that Ahmadinejad doesn't give a fig for the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. He only uses it to make friends in the Arab world. If I were a Palestinian, says Avery, I would not rely on it. Sooner or later, geography will tell, and Israeli-Iranian relations will return to what they were, hopefully on a far more positive basis. One thing I am ready to predict with confidence, says Avery, whoever pushes for war against Iran will come to regret it. Let's repeat that sentence again. One thing I am ready to predict with confidence, says Avery, whoever pushes for war against Iran will come to regret it. Some adventures are easy to get into, but hard to get out of. The last one to find this out was Saddam Hussein. We'll be back with Avery's essay. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Support the No More Wars for Israel conference October 12th through the 14th in Los Angeles. More on that when we return. Stay tuned.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint Water System with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
This is Mark Ankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Support the No More Wars for Israel conference, folks, October 12th through the 14th in Southern California. For more information on that conference, you can go to nomorewarsforisrael.blogspot.com. That's nomorewarsforisrael.blogspot.com. We're still looking at this Yuri Avnery essay this morning, found at the Gush Shalom Israeli Peace Bloc site. It's entitled, So What About Iran? Avnery says that one thing he's ready to predict with confidence, whoever pushes for war against Iran will come to regret it. Some adventures are easy to get into, he says, but hard to get out of. Some adventures are easy to get into, but hard to get out of. The last one to find this out, Avnery says, was Saddam Hussein. He thought that it would be a cakewalk. He's speaking, of course, about the 1980 to 1988 war with Iran. After all, Khomeini had killed off most of the officers and especially the pilots of the Shah's military. He believed that one quick Iraqi blow would be enough to bring about the collapse of Iran. He had 8 long years of war to regret it. Both the Americans and we, says Avery, may soon be feeling that the Iraqi mud is like whipped cream compared to the Iranian quagmire. Listen to this, John Hagee. Listen to this, Cornerstone Church. Listen to this, Christians United for Israel. Listen to this, all those who are a part of the Christian Zionist movement in league with the Jewish neoconservatives that are trying to get this country to go to war with Iran on Israel's behalf. Whoever pushes for war, says Yuri Avery, against Iran will come to regret it. Some adventures are easy to get into, but hard to get out of. The last one to find this out was Saddam Hussein. He thought that it would be a cakewalk after all. Khomeini had killed off most of the officers and especially the pilots of the Shah's military. He believed that one quick Iraqi blow would be enough to bring about the collapse of Iran. He had 8 long years of war to regret it. Both the Americans and we the Israelis, says Avery, may soon be feeling that the Iraqi mud is like whipped cream compared to the Iranian quagmire. The clock is ticking, folks. The London Sunday Times was not kidding on September the 23rd when it reported that Dr. Lonnie Cass, this Israeli major, ex-Israeli major, was a key planning person in helping the highest levels of the United States Air Force prepare an attack on Iran through the auspices of something called Project Checkmate. Project Checkmate, or Operation Checkmate. Take a look at this Checkmate operation. What does it entail? It's all right there for you in the London Sunday Times. Is that a false report, or is it true? It seems to me that when we look at the lion's share of the evidence, especially as Sarah Posner brings some of this into play today with what she has said at the American Prospect, we are on the brink of a third world war. Are we going to let Bush do this? Are we going to let the Congress go along with it? Are we going to be pushed into this thing by the minions of the Christian right in the Christian Zionist camp who think that the modern state of Israel is the Israel of God and that it's okay to engage in holy war on their behalf? For those of you who think that that point of view is irresponsible and crazy, which includes a very wide percentage of the American public, by the way, both Christian as well as non-Christian, it's time to get organized. It's time to fight. It's time to put your time and resources behind those things that are fighting for you and for the survivability of this planet, the survivability of the American Republic, the survivability of your family members and friends. That involves this No More Wars for Israel conference. Take a look at the information at nomorewarsforisrael.blogspot.com. That's just around the corner now, October 12th through the 14th. Let's take a look at something that's a few days old. I've been wanting to talk about this one in the air, and with the number of things that I've had to cover, I simply have not been able to get to it. Lebanon and Syria. What has been going on in that country in the last couple of years with all of these assassinations? Ramsey Baroud has a very, very important essay on this at globalresearch.ca. It's entitled Lebanon and Syria, The Politics of Assassination. It was posted on October 1st, which is about 4 days ago now. I would like every person listening to this broadcast to take a look at that essay at globalresearch.ca. That's up in Canada. That's Dr. Michael Chosadovsky's site. He's been on the show, of course. Ramsey Baroud's essay is must reading, not simply in order that we might understand what is really behind what has been going on in Lebanon and Syria with the politics of assassination, but in order that we might begin to analyze a very long history of false flag operations, both in the Middle East as well as elsewhere, that have had the fingerprints of Israel all over them. And, of course, the American news media has been in complete complicity with Israel on this for a very, very long period of time for reasons that we've just discussed many, many times on this show. Look at what is happening in Lebanon and Syria. Take a look at Mr. Baroud's essay at globalresearch.ca. I think you'll begin to see the larger picture, not simply in terms of that region of the world, but it begs the question as to what false flag incidents are yet future, what are they going to entail, and how is it going to get the United States to attack Iran? We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Knob Creek Gun Range invites you to come out and support the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms, the country's biggest machine gun and military gun show. The three-day event is October 12th, 13th, and 14th at Knob Creek, Kentucky, where the public can participate in the high-power action. Thousands attend this semi-annual event. This is a must-see for all gun enthusiasts and collectors. There will be hundreds of vendors for every type of firearm and accessory available in the marketplace today. Go to www.machinegunshoot.com for all the scheduled events and directions to Knob Creek, Kentucky. On-site camping facilities available, or go to www.machinegunshoot.com for hotel and motel accommodations. Only $10 admission fee per day, $5 for 12 and under. Knob Creek Gun Range is also open year-round for your shooting enjoyment. Call 502-922-4457 for more information or visit www.machinegunshoot.com.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special. Call and ask about the free shipping offer until October 15th, 2007, and your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been taking a look at a series of news stories this morning. Yuri Avnery's essay at the Gush Shalom Israeli Peace Bloc is entitled, "So What About Iran?" Avnery makes much the same case that Phil Giraldi does for the fact that war is not simply around the corner, but that it is likely to start incrementally with a series of miscalculations that will cause it and the consequences thereof to simply mushroom. We've also taken a very, very brief look this morning at the Ed and Elaine Brown situation, as that has been reported at CNN.com in regard to the fact that Ed and Elaine Brown are now in federal custody as of Thursday night. We've taken a look at the Gun Owners of America open letter to their pro-gun community in regard to concerns about certain compromises allegedly being made by the National Rifle Association in regard to some of the things that are now pending with people like Chuck Schumer and Pat Leahy. And then, of course, we have talked about Sarah Posner's essay at the American Prospect entitled The Fundamentalist. Posner, among other things, finds it incredible that the Council for National Policy, the so-called shadowy clandestine Christian right group, would be talking about a third-party presidential campaign for someone opposing both the Republican and the Democratic parties in the fall 2008 elections because of the absolute need of the Christian right to defeat Hillary Clinton. What Posner misses out on is the fact that Giuliani is an ideological clone of Ms. Clinton, all the way down to his Israeli cross-dressing underwear. Of course, when we look at Sarah Posner's essay, she also says some very good things about John Hagee and about the absolute craziness of Hagee's position in regard to In Defense of Israel. That's the title of his latest book. In the first place, there's nothing new about Hagee's essay or his new book. All of this has been covered since 1830 by John Nelson Darby and Cyrus Schofield and Hal Lindsey. Hagee is simply, of course, simply changing the cover on the book, so to speak, and issuing the same old tired arguments. But when we look at these arguments, as tired as they are leading us perilously close to a third world war. In that regard, we can affirm the notion that ideas have consequences. In this case, bad ideas have very bad consequences, both real consequences as well as potentially bad ones that are lurking just around the corner and just over the horizon, which is why we need to support this No More Wars for Israel conference. Mark Glenn is spearheading this thing. You can contact him at nomorewarsforisrael.blogspot.com. It's October 12th through the 14th in Los Angeles, and you can still get in on it either as a registrant for the conference or as one who is supporting the conference financially. Again, contact Mark Glenn at nomorewarsforisrael.blogspot.com or send him a note at P.O. Box 27, Kerrywood with a C, Idaho, 83809. That's Post Office Box 27 for Mark Glenn, Kerrywood with a C, Idaho, 83809. If you're coming to the conference, a hotel room is $124 per night, double occupancy allowed. Registration is $150 per person, couples for $175. Registration fee includes Saturday evening banquet and Sunday breakfast. Whether you're coming to the conference or you're simply wanting to send a donation, you can do so snail mail to Mark Glenn at Post Office Box 27, Kerrywood with a C, Idaho, 83809, or contact him at nomorewarsforisrael.blogspot.com. We just started looking at Ramsey Brood's essay of October the 1st in globalresearch.ca. It's entitled Lebanon and Syria, The Politics of Assassination. Brood says that the assassination of Lebanese politician Antoine Ghanem on September the 19th is likely to be used predictably to further U.S. and Israeli interests in the region. Most Western and some Arab media have industriously argued that Syria is the greatest beneficiary from the death of Ghanem, a member of the Falange Party responsible for much of Lebanon's bloodshed during the civil war years between 1975 and 1990. The reasoning provided is that Syria needs to maintain a measure of political control over Lebanon after being pressured to withdraw its troops. This political clout could only be maintained through the purging of anti-Syrian critics in Lebanon and by ensuring a Lebanese parliament friendly to Syria. And indeed, with the elimination of Ghanem, the anti-Syrian coalition at the fractious Lebanese parliament is now left with an even slimmer majority, 68 MPs and a 128-member assembly. Case solved. Or is it, says Baroud? The Syrian regime may in fact be responsible for the murder of six Lebanese political figures, including Ghanem, since the tragic car bombing of former Lebanese Prime Minister Rafik Hariri in February of 2005. However, to understand the situation in Lebanon, one needs to refrain from any simplistic conclusions. This is not an easy task, however, given that media reports pertaining to Lebanon classify every Lebanese political figure as pro- or anti-Syrian. Such reporting rests on the idea that the Syrian regime, and only the Syrian regime, has a keen interest in bringing death and chaos to a small but strategically important Lebanon. By the same logic, says Baroud, all of Syria's allies, Iran, Hezbollah, and Lebanon, and the Damascus-based Palestinian groups, including Hamas and various socialist factions, are regularly implicated by the Western media. Considering the elaborate politics of assassination in Lebanon and the many bloody events that were justified in the basis of such killings, notwithstanding the rationalization of the Israeli invasion of Lebanon and the massacre of Sabra and Shatila in 1982, one would assume that media reporters and commentators have learned to become extra cautious before following official American and Israeli lines. As a country either fully or partially responsible for destabilizing Lebanon, Syria may be a probable culprit in Ghanem's death. This is a view underscored daily by both those who are either genuinely seeking to liberate Lebanon from foreign influence and those who wish to dominate the Lebanese political landscape. But self-interested as it may be, Syria is also known, says Baroud, for being politically savvy and judicious. It has shown this by serving as a valuable ally in the U.S. war on terror since the terrorist attacks of September the 11th, 2001. It willingly collaborated in securing its borders with Iraq and even went as far as torturing America's prisoners and the CIA's infamous extraordinary renditions. Why would a country that was willing to sink so low now provide pretext for hostilities by carrying out brazen assassinations against America's allies in Lebanon? Each such assassination only helps cement the anti-Syrian cries stemming from Washington, Tel Aviv, and Beirut. The Syrian regime's past is indisputably cruel, but inanity has hardly been one of its features, says Baroud. Could it be plausible that Syria is innocent of the most recent bloodletting in Lebanon? It is mind-boggling to imagine a country which has managed to survive amidst the incalculable hostility stemming from across all its borders being so foolish as to carry out such ludicrous crimes with such harmful consequences at such a critical time. Despite Lebanon's value in the Middle East's ongoing Cold War, Syria, like any other regime under threat, should be less concerned about dominating a smaller neighbor than in securing its own survival. We have a caller, John in Tennessee, for Mark Gankoff. Go ahead, John.
Good morning, Mark.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Listen, the reason I called is, I wish that Americans could understand history. I mean, the real history. How America has been in the Middle East for years, pitting Iraq and Iran against one another, playing both sides against the middle. You know, Mark, what's unusual is because of the job that I'm in and where I'm from originally, which is the Detroit area, I've had the opportunity to meet a ton of people from the Middle East. I deliver gasoline for a living, and back in the late 70s and early 80s, I don't know how many men in America can say that they've met a terrorist. But if you recall, you're about my age, if you recall the name Nabi Berri, who was with I can't recall, but it was back during the time that the Iranians were holding the Americans in the embassy. Nabi Berri was a Lebanese attorney who was working for General Motors. And shortly before I met him, he bought up a bunch of gas stations, mobile stations, and Citgo stations, and he was a little bit of an odd character. He liked young women, 15, 16-year-old girls. Really nice guy. But he was a thief, and he was a terrorist. He took several million dollars back over to Lebanon, and I was at home. He had disappeared. I was at home watching the news, and on the news I saw Nabi Berri standing in front of an aircraft that they had hijacked. And they paid for the terrorism with the money he took from this nation. And I guess I'm telling a long story to say this. The Americans that are in control of this country, the Bushes and the Cheneys and the Clintons and the Kennedys and the Bidens and all the rest of them, are playing the same game. I don't care what name you put on them, whether you call them a Democrat or a Republican. They're horses from the same stable. They're playing for the same master. They're doing what they're doing for a common reason and a common goal. And they've got America to the point where they've made the majority so gullible that even the so-called Christians in the church, and I use that term, and I mean it when I say it, Mark, Christianity, it's an easy thing to believe in Jesus Christ. It's an entirely different thing to understand, and rather than have a head knowledge of who he is, to have a heart knowledge and to have an experiential knowledge of who he is. And you're bringing up Hagee and you're bringing up others. I'll agree that the majority of Christians in churches throughout this country believe that they're headed to a better place, and they're really, I believe they're not. I can't judge any individual, but I can say this: if God cannot lie, and I don't believe he can, then for Hagee to believe in his heart that all Jews are going to go to heaven is foolishness. God's not a respecter of persons. If he could allow a Jew to get there through some sort of a predetermined guarantee, he's putting them above me. And according to his word, he can't do that. He can't lie. If there's one way, then they're not going to have it pounded into them. I may be rambling.
Well, all this is well taken, John, and I think among the many things that you've said that are worthwhile is this whole way in which we need to take a look at American foreign policy, not simply as something that involves doing whatever Israel wants in the Middle East, but the way in which we've implemented that policy has been absolutely heinous, not simply in terms of the numbers of people who've been disenfranchised and killed and so forth, but as you point out, the way in which we continue to see ourselves as a part of these constantly shifting alliances, where one day we're working with these players, the next day we're working with these players, we're pitting people against one another, we are involved in all kinds of covert activities that involve assassination and overthrow of governments, and somebody that's deemed to be a terrorist organization at one point suddenly becomes a friend. Classic example of this: in the 1970s, when I was living in Iran, when my parents were stationed over there, the Mujahideen-e-Khalq, the MEK, or the so-called People's Army, was conducting a series of assassinations of American military personnel in Tehran and American defense contractors. There were several Iranians killed that had been working for the American government through the American embassy. The Mujahideen-e-Khalq, or the People's Army, basically claimed at the time that they were an Islamic Marxist organization, quote-unquote. Now, all these many years later, there are a significant number of neocons in the government that say that the MEK is now our friend because they oppose the present regime in Iran, and the MEK has offered to be, apparently, in league with the American and British intelligence communities and doing whatever it is that they're going to do to destabilize that regime. We see, as you've noted, the same thing when it comes to Iran and Iraq. You get into the whole business of what Yuri Avnery talks about in his essay this morning at Gush Shalom. It becomes abundantly clear that we support both sides against the middle in regard to the great tragedy of what happened in this Iran-Iraq war between 1980 and 1988. There were almost 2 million casualties in that war. 2 million. The greatest number of deaths in a war since the end of World War II. Yet the American public does not seem to grasp the extent of the involvement of their own government in these things, or the extent to which we are hated around the world because of things like this that we have pulled off. It is a very amoral policy, and even more importantly, it's a policy that has incredible political blowback. You can't do things like this over the long haul, it seems to me, without it coming back to bite you, to haunt you. And then, of course, when you get into the whole business of the kingdom of God and Jesus, for those of us who are Christians, it becomes difficult to reconcile this type of a Machiavellian foreign policy with the ethical prescripts of Jesus Christ. I don't think you can do it.
But in a couple things that you had mentioned, one is that for the average American, to get them to understand what their government, what their country has done over the last several hundred years, in regards to wars and how they've started them and what they've done to kind of increase the fear in the American people. They've got to understand this whole idea of a hidden government of Satan, and I know that a lot of people don't think that Satan is real, but that Satan is controlling the movers and the shakers on this planet. He's got them under his thumb. Now, I believe that the average person is blinded to it. They can't see it. They can't understand it at this time. It's as though they've got a handkerchief covering their eyes. I mean, they can't see it, and they can't hear the truth. Now, I don't know if it's that they can't comprehend it or that they're deceived or what's going on, Mark, but I've lost my train of thought. What I was getting to was that I know these things are true because while you were in Iran, I was in the Air Force. We were selling A-7 aircraft weaponry and training pilots for Iran, and we were selling weapons to Iraq. And in 1980, when they were doing, you know, killing these millions of people, the Americans need to understand what the Ayatollah's done over there. Now, the Shah wasn't the best man in the world, but when the Ayatollahs came in, Mark, they got young men and asked who wants
John,
to go to heaven.
John, stay on the line. We'll be right back. Stay on the line if you can.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint water system with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint Blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
And I
Mark Antos America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We have a caller on the line. Also wanted to conclude our brief discussion of Ramsey Broud's essay at globalresearch.ca entitled Lebanon and Syria, The Politics of Assassination. Who are the other possible culprits, Broud says, or asks, in regard to the assassination, the latest one of Antoine Ghanem on September the 19th? Considering Lebanon's blood-stained past and the numerous players, sects, and factions operating within its borders, the list seems endless. However, taking into account the nature of the assassinations, all targeting so-called anti-Syrian figures, and the official line championed by the U.S. and Israel, one can reasonably include those who wish to drive Syria into a military confrontation, or perhaps a humiliating political settlement with Israel, including a compromise in the occupied Golan Heights. It would be worth noting here the neoconservative doctrine prepared by Richard Perle in 1996 for then-Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, tellingly entitled A Clean Break, Securing the Realm. It outlines plans to subdue Syria through the Lebanese route. It outlines plans to subdue Syria through the Lebanese route. John, go ahead, sir.
All right, Mark, the point I'm trying to make is that as Americans and Christians in America are deceived, and, you know, to go along with the war for a reason that they believe is correct, every nation, every country has done the same thing. Are you familiar with the keys to heaven in Iran? Has anyone ever told you about the keys to heaven?
Don't recall that, no.
I have a friend that's from Iran. He's about my age. His name is, well, I call him Mo. And Mo's father owned a large corporation in Iran. I'll make this quick.
No, that's
but he
fine.
He told him, stay away from the Ayatollah and the Mullahs. They're evil people. Okay? Now, Mo told me that the way that they got their warriors for this Iraq-Iran war in 1980 was to get young boys and ask, who wants to go to heaven? Well, naturally, everyone wants to go, so it's given me 2 cents, literally 2 cents, and they get a little key on a piece of rope. The mullah put it around their neck, they kissed the Quran, and they got on a bus. And they, thousands upon thousands of these kids got on a bus and went and walked into minefields to explode the mines between Iraq and Iran. And because they had run out of all things, donkeys that they used to clear the minefields. When they had no more donkeys, they sacrificed their own children. So, I mean, this is something that, as far out as America is in regards to being deceived, Iran and Iraq and those in the Middle East, all for the name of religion. I mean, there's not a war that's been fought that hasn't been based on religious, religious dispute. That's what it's all about. I guess today I'm not making a lot of sense, Mark, but we need to understand that you and I can disagree. Personally, I believe in the rapture of the church, but I do believe that Christians are going to go through a great time of trouble before it comes back. And I justify it by saying this. If we're the bride of Christ, I would no more leave my wife if I knew hard times were coming. Then I would sacrifice myself. And if we're the bride of Christ, the true church, I don't believe he's going to leave his bride in a time of tremendous trouble. That's my
John.
Thought.
God bless you, sir. You're a good friend. I'll enjoy talking with you this coming week too.
All right, take care.
Take care, my friend. This is Mark Ankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Let's get behind that No More Wars for Israel conference coming up October 12th through the 14th in Southern California. Go to nomorewarsforisrael.blogspot.com for all of the information. The clock is ticking, folks, toward an expansion of this war. You care about your future and that of your country and your family members and your kids? Support that conference.
It's true.